Healings, miracles, signs, and wonders. In our day and age, masculinity is being attacked, but men can be men of God, serve Jesus wholeheartedly. They could walk in their identity. They could walk in the anointing and authority that the Holy Spirit has for them. On this podcast episode today, I host Dr. Carl Joseph, who's released a new book called Lionheart. Welcome to Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky, a podcast that is not just information, but impartation and activation. This podcast offers supernatural conversations that will encourage and equip you to live the Spirit-empowered life. Fireborn Ministries exists to see Jesus awaken this generation to the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen in to this powerful and encouraging conversation and share this episode of Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky. Hey guys, welcome to Adventures in the Spirit. I'm your host, Jared Lasky, and I want to encourage you guys. This is now on Faith and Freedom TV network, Faith and Freedom online, and also on Roku and going out on some satellite stations. It's a pioneering network of ministries, of biblical messages, topics that have been banned, censored, shadow banned, and all that. And so we made a divine connection recently with Joe Horn. If you've listened to that podcast episode of Innocence Shattered, he connected me with Rick of the Faith and Freedom TV network. He's like, Jared, you know, this, your podcast needs to be on this network, and it's going out there now. So I just pray in the name of Jesus that many people will be touched and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit through that. So we're taking a step of faith. Thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you so much for your partnership. I want to encourage you guys. I have a free downloadable PDF available for you in the podcast description on how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or also the baptism with the Holy Spirit leading other people into the promised gift. If you want to be used of God to see people receive the Spirit baptism, download Leading Others into the Promised Gift. But guys, I'm excited for today's conversation. I'm bringing to you Carl Joseph. He's got his THD, his doctorate in theology. He's a scholar, a minister. He's a husband, father. He's a life coach. He had a powerful encounter with God. He's seen miraculous healing, miracles, signs, and wonders since that day that he gave his life to Christ Jesus and was baptized with the Holy Spirit. He shares testimonies and empowers others to fulfill their God-given calling. And he's got this new book out now called Lionheart. Lionheart. Unleash the warrior within. So please help me welcome Dr. Carl Joseph to Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky. Welcome, doctor.
Thank you, Jared. I really appreciate it. It's an honor and a privilege to be on the show.
Well, the honor's all mine, brother. It's exciting what God is doing through you. Real quick, you've got your THD. Can you tell me a little bit about it? Because I recently talked to my wife about getting a PhD. I've got a couple master's degrees, but I'm still kind of on the fence on that. But how did you get that?
That's a great question, brother. There was a reticence from me to go into any formal education, any religious education, because my core mantra, I guess you could say, is walking with Jesus in a spirit-filled lifestyle. I got born again on June 9th of 1999. 20 days later, I was spirit-filled. And obviously, from the Pentecostal charismatic side, there's like this reluctance to don't go to seminary or cemetery. You know, they'll just suck the life out of you. But the Holy Spirit kept pushing me in that area that, no, there's value in this. And I actually obtained those degrees in, originally the Master's of ministry in Oklahoma, in Tulsa, where I met my wife, and also in Missouri, I obtained the THD with Dr. Lake, who's also an author and a highly intelligent man, and I'm just grateful to be a part of that. But again, education, to me, the premise is knowing the scriptures, engrafting them in your soul, which is very important, and I talk about that in Lionheart, the meditation aspect that is frankly forgotten in this day and age, but that actually is what burgeoned the Puritans and strengthened them in God's power to change the world. It was through meditation.
Amen. Well, can you share a little bit about how you got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then jump into what biblical meditation is?
So as you can tell from my funny accent, I come from the UK originally, a place called Wales, which is a principality on the western side of the UK. Obviously, you had the Welsh revival at the turn of the last century there. So there is a connection with God in Wales. I, however, grew up in the far west, which is somewhat secular, Anglican background, where there's a lot of pomp and ritual and religion, I guess you could say. My vicar would be, you know, drinking scotch and smoking cigars at the bar. And, you know, that's kind of the Christianity I grew up in. And obviously a lot of secular humanism and that kind of Darwinism that is trained or propagandized in the UK education. However, being an engineer, I was a petroleum engineer. I came to the US in 1999, landed in Houston. And within 60 days of that landing, I was already born again and spirit filled. And that's an entire story in itself. But essentially, I went on a fast, strangely, for 28 days. And in that time frame, my soul sort of dissipated, the fleshly desires waned. And then God led me to a church and I got born again, brother. And it was awesome. And spirit filled 20 days later and into the miraculous, of course, the spirit filled lifestyle, which I'm very grateful that this podcast, like yourself, who really do, embellish and excite people to be spirit filled, because we need to be powerful in this time. Regarding meditation, this is certainly something that was practiced by the Puritans. And in fact, Oliver Cromwell himself meditated on God's word. And there's a famous quote by a Dr. Watson, which I'm going to just try and find here, about biblical meditation. He says, "The devil is an enemy of meditation. He knows that meditation is a means to compose the heart and to bring it into a gracious frame. Satan is content that you should be hearing and praying Christians so that you be not meditating Christians. He can stand your small shot, provided that you do not put in this bullet of meditation." And the meditation aspect of speaking the word, hearing it yourself, implanting it into your soul, which is a work in progress, of course, because our spirit man is a one-time born-again affair. We're instantly saved as soon as we repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the soul is a work in progress. And that is how we conform to Christ's image through this practice of meditation.
Amen. Well, you talked about healings and miracles. What are some healings and miracles you've seen God do through you?
Well, brother, since that time in 99, almost immediately, within a few months, I was part of a miracle where a friend of mine, Dolores from Houston, her relation, her sister-in-law was stricken with cancer. And obviously she shared that with me. And it was a time frame for me while I was reading books by Brother Hagin and Brother Osteen, and just empowered to literally do the works of Jesus, John 14:12. If you have the power of God, do what the scripture says, lay hands on the sick, Mark 16:17. The book of James challenges us to lay hands on with oil, anointing oil, grab the elders of the church. That doesn't mean people who are old per se, that's just people who are mature in the word. And so myself and Dolores went to Linda, and she was stricken in her bed in the living room because she couldn't climb the stairs. And we just started a conversation with her. I didn't know her at all. The cancer had progressed into her body greatly to the point where it was in her lymph node. So it was a very serious cancer. And I just literally was, I guess you could say, stupid enough to just open up the New Testament and say, "Hey, it says here that if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I'm spirit filled. So is Dolores." And one of the things that is key for receiving, however, sometimes, not always, but the Holy Spirit reminded me about unforgiveness. And in that instance, I asked the question, "Do you have anybody you need to forgive?" At that time, she didn't. And there's another instance later on where I asked that same question and it was a blockage for somebody. But for Linda, she said, "Hey, you know, I believe God can heal." So she said that out of her mouth. We had agreement. I laid hands on her. But when I laid hands on her, I didn't just say, "Oh, Holy Spirit, you know, do your will per se," which we know it's God's will to heal. I stood on the scriptures and I said, "Hey, I know you want this woman well. I know what the word says." And so what we did was we cursed the cancer at the root. We spoke to the obstacle. We commanded it to wither and die. And when I did so, Linda responded emotionally. She started crying. And there was definitely the tangible presence of God. But it wasn't a passive prayer, Jared. It was a pointed, deliberate, strong prayer, which is something is withholding the blessing in this woman. Let's uproot it, as Christ talked about in Mark 11:23. Speak to the obstacle, speak to the mountain, etc. That's how we did it. And sure enough, within a few days following, we had an incredible report that well, it was credible, not incredible, but amazing, I guess, that she had no trace of cancer in her body. And she recovered fully, and she's alive to this day. And so I think there's a naivety sometimes that the new believer has, that there's no restriction of unbelief because you're so fresh into it. You're born again, you're spirit filled, you're praying in the spirit a lot. It's in that atmosphere you can really facilitate God's move.
Amen. Well, you've got this book out, Lionheart, Unleash the Warrior Within. So what was your inspiration behind writing and releasing this book?
Well, it's timely in light of what happened to our brother, Charlie Kirk, and the persecution that arguably is coming to the church in this nation. And we're seeing it in Nigeria presently. You know, there's a lot of persecution for the true faith. And we have to stand up in America, do our part in the West. And people have this sort of wishy-washy view of God, you know, and he is certainly meek and he certainly is mild. And it says that in the scripture. However, it also says in Exodus 15:3 that the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And that's one of the compound names of God, Sabaoth, which is war, Lord of war. And of course, when Christ returns in Revelation 19:15, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that will smite the nations. And so Christ is returning as a warrior king. And in two pre-incarnate instances, Christ appeared as a warrior in the Old Testament. He appeared as a figure with sword drawn prior to Joshua's conquest over Jericho, and as a warrior with fiery flame in the burning bush. So there's this warrior aspect of God. And when it comes to Lionheart, there's an interesting passage there in 2 Samuel 17:10, where Hushai, who's a servant of Absalom, is warning of David's valiance and ferocity in battle. And he says, whose heart, speaking of David, whose heart is as that of a lion. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. But what made David this lion heart? It's the passion that he had for Christ, the passion for God. Yes, he was quick to forgive. He was quick to repent. He was a flawed man. We know he committed some pretty heinous sins there. But the passion that he had was always getting right with God. That was his number one concern. And that's what I inspire in men, is to make sure the vertical channel between you and God is clear. Is there any bitterness? Is there any unforgiveness? Walk with vulnerability before your Heavenly Father on a daily basis. And the log jams that could hold up our prayers will be curtailed if we keep that pipe open.
Right. Well, in your book, you say that warriors know who they are. And I was just talking to my oldest son last night about identity, how the devil is attacking the image of God by attacking people's identity, getting them to question who they are and whose they are in Christ Jesus. And we see this masculinity being attacked left and right. Men, dare I say, yes, being feminized, you know, yes, just constantly attacked, and their roles and their what God designed them to do being attacked constantly, where there's a lot of weak men in this day and age right now. And that's tragic, but it's because the devil is attacking and he's getting people to question who they are. Can you share about identity, about how do we know our identity in Christ and rise to the occasion to be courageous, to be a man of God?
Great question there, Jared. And one of the first things that was handed to us in Bible school when I attended Rhema down there in Oklahoma, I was given a sheet of at least 40 things that Christ had already given us in the atonement, things we already possess. You know, many years ago, Brother Kenneth E. Hagin wrote a very small booklet where he went through the epistles and looked at terms like in Christ, in whom, through whom. And by highlighting these verses, he captured 40 things that have already been won for Christ, as we are the triumphant church. You know, you talk about spiritual warfare. Yes, there's an element of warfare, and it's putting down the flesh and walking in the spirit. But we're not warring to win victory. We already have the victory in Christ because Christ won for us. And so we are already a child of God. We're already redeemed, already forgiven, saved, justified. We're a new creature in Christ. We're redeemed, delivered from the powers of darkness. We're children of God. We're kept in safety by his protection. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might, etc., etc., holy and unblameable. And the more we engraft these identity scriptures into our soul through meditation, as I mentioned, the more you realize who you are, so that when those thoughts, those interjected thoughts come from the devil, we are then able to rebut him with truth. Because that's how Christ defended himself in the wilderness, of course. In Matthew 4, we have this discourse of Christ being tempted, and that's a literal temptation, otherwise the Bible wouldn't say that. But Christ never got into a conversation with the devil. And we shouldn't get baited into a conversation in our minds either. We should speak the word plainly. Christ quoted the book of Deuteronomy 3 times there. And we should quote the epistles. No, devil, I am blessed and highly favored. That rent check is going to be paid because I'm blessed in Jesus' name. I have provision from God. He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider, etc., etc. The more you empower yourself with the truth, the easier it is to walk in victory.
Amen. Well, you again mentioned biblical meditation. How does one do biblical meditation? I enjoy it. You know, I love biblical meditation, but that also has been attacked. And, you know, then there's some weird stuff that people bring into it. But how, biblically speaking, or in your opinion, how does one do biblical meditation?
Well, if you look at the Hebrew methodology or tradition, when the kids started out, they would actually recite the scripture and they'd have a little dab of honey on their tongue when they correctly memorized the sentence. And so the Lord's word is sweet. Now, the trouble is many people are like, I don't want to meditate in God's word. It's hard work. And the truth is there is an element of work involved in this. When I first got saved, I wrote down like 200 or 300 scriptures on a yellow pad. I wrote them out and I recited them. But the more that I did it, the more the Holy Spirit could then bring them to my remembrance when I needed them or the time of temptation. The trouble is if you don't store it up in your hard drive, so to speak, if you think of your soul as the hard drive, that software, the Holy Spirit can't extract it if there's nothing stored in the hard drive. And so there is an element of work with meditation. Of course, we're not talking about Eastern meditation, the blanking of the mind, staring at the wall and all that. That's how the demonic actually gains a foothold in our mind through those practices, the Kundalini spirit. You know, we can go off on there, but the meditation side is always occupying your mind with the word, and that's our defense. And it's absolutely imperative that we have knowledge of the word of God.
Amen. Amen. So how does a man become courageous in a world that's been trying to attack him constantly? What are some steps that a man can do?
Great question. Ultimately, we would have to deal with the issue of death. If we know that death has been solved by Christ and the sting of death has been taken by those in Christ, then we have to realize our life is no longer our own. Now, I'm not, you know, advertising martyrdom here, but what I'm saying is the fear of death should have dissipated. Knowing this, we are going to be led by the Spirit of God to do what we need to do. And we have to understand that none of this is in and of ourselves. The more we acknowledge our weakness in Christ, the more God will give us grace. And so I would just simply open up a dialogue with the Father. And of course, any dialogue you have has to line up with the Word of God, because deception is rife when you start to entertain, dare I say, spirits. And of course, the Holy Spirit is a spirit. He is the King of all spirits. But there are many voices in this world, the Bible says, and they are not without justification. And these voices have to be measured to the measuring rod, which is the word of God. So whenever I hear a word prophetically from somebody, is it encouraging? Is it exhorting? Is it building me up? If it is, I'm going to put that on the shelf and say, thank you, Jesus. And I look forward to that. But I'm not going to use prophetic words to guide my life and tell me what to do, because the Holy Spirit is going to tell me what to do in that devotional time, garnering that relationship with Christ on a daily basis. That's where my instruction comes from. If I get prophetic words, they're going to confirm what has already been spoken to me most of the time. However, occasionally you'll get a word out of left field and the Lord will surprise you in a good way. But there's a lot of mysticism in Christianity, arguably, where, you know, the Holy Spirit is this entity that sort of tells you anything and sort of do this and do that. That's all well and good. And he does speak to us. However, we have to make sure that what he's telling us lines up with the word.
That's right. That's right. Well, you said a couple things, and I just want you to be brutally honest. You could name a few things that you see within the church that have infiltrated the church, that churches have adopted, that are not biblical, that are deceptive.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it was Mario Murillo kept talking about skinny jeans and smoke machines, and we're going to church to get emotional and get something from God. Like we're going there to watch the show. And I'm reminded of a church planter out of San Francisco, is one of the networks, the ARC network. And he just put on this fantastic show in San Francisco. And one of the Google guys was sitting in the audience, and he just did his best. And you know, everything looked great, and the smoke was there. And it's like, as soon as it ended, he's like, "What do you think?" He asked this guy from Google, he said, "What do you think?" He said, "I just feel like you just put on a big show, and I'm here to hear the word and receive." And so I think the enemy sometimes lies to us about, you know, we're always trying to perform. But the Holy Spirit is there, and he wants to get tangible change in people. And that's what he's about. He's about character development, getting away those fleshy tendencies. And we can only do that with devotional time and being vulnerable with people. I mean, the more times I've been vulnerable with prayer partners, the more I've received in a positive way, because, you know, God wants us to change. You know, come as you are, just don't stay as you are.
Amen. Well, in your book, you talk about how warriors are not easily deceived. How can we make sure that we are not deceived in this day and age?
Well, I will be a little controversial here, because when I first started reading the Word, I had a parallel Bible. I had a King James on the left side and a New Living Translation, and I absolutely love the New Living Translation. But what I've noticed over time is many of these new translations have actually even removed verses from the New Testament. Would you believe, for in fact, the NIV or the NLT has actually removed 16 verses from the New Testament? And these verses are very powerful. They're the type that says this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting, for example. Or it talks about Matthew 4:4, that the word is the daily bread. And I list them on my website, carljosephministries.com, which is my main hub. And you can go there for 213 podcasts and articles, and even talks about some of the things that have been removed even from our Bible. For example, Lucifer is only found in the King James, the New King James, and the MEV, but he is notably absent from many of the modern versions. And it's like, why is this happening? You know, as time's gone on, we're sort of getting away from the root text that we had in the 17th century. And, you know, we're sort of losing some of the names of even the Lord. Like the word Lord is absent in some translations. And so, you know, I really encourage people to get a parallel Bible, so they have the King James on the left and their favorite translation on the right, and just compare them, because the Word of God will affect doctrine ultimately. And we have to make sure we hang on to that orthodox doctrine. And of course, you know, the cessationists will say, well, God doesn't heal today, he doesn't move today, you know, there's no baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I that's wasted on me, because 20 days after I was born again, I'm straight into the Spirit-filled lifestyle. And I've seen so many awesome things that God has done. And there's a reticence from a lot of nominal Christians to even go there. So I'm very encouraged that your podcast especially is going there and challenging people to come up higher and move in God's power.
Amen. Well, I've also noticed a trend, and it's really on the fringes of TikTok. And, you know, I'm a theologian, minister, so the algorithm kicks me stuff, right? It starts sending me stuff. But I see this interest in not just apocryphal, but pseudepigraphal books. A lot of people are talking about the Book of Enoch, books 1, 2, 3. They're talking about Gnostic Gospels. And there's some interest, but Christians are getting involved in this. Listen, on my bookshelf, I've got those books, okay? I read the Book of Enoch. You could read it and see, hey, this is gets you into the mind of earlier times on supernatural things and the understanding and thinking. But you could see that language changes, and there's a reason why it's not in the canon, because you could see it goes from one author to another and it wasn't accepted. I'm okay with people studying, but when it's contradicting the Word of God, it's deception in my mind. It is deception. You know, we have the canon. I do know that Ethiopia has 88 books in their Bible. Ethiopia is one of the oldest churches out there. You know, we see the connection with the eunuch. You yes. know, there's historical things behind that. I don't have time to get into that. And I'm okay with people being curious and studying, but they've got to be careful when they hear from these TikTok people who don't know what they're talking about. Carl, you've got the seminary education behind you. I've got the seminary education behind us. Here's what I learned in seminary. there's a lot more to learn.
Okay. Still learning.
There's so much more to learn. And, but yet, you know, I'm thinking about doing a whole Book of Enoch thing and, you know, being like, hey, if you're interested, let's jump into this. However, this isn't our rule of faith. We need to draw near to Jesus.
Absolutely, brother. And you've spoken the truth there. And the canon really was solidified by 100 AD. They already had the canon in their possession. And as you mentioned, these pseudepigraphal texts came in. And of course, when the King James was printed, it was not including the Apocrypha. It was between the testaments, as if to say, we don't agree with these. They're available, but we don't deem them as canon. And that's how the King James translators took that. But the main thing is to keep the main thing, which is the redemption of Christ and the blood. Now, we can talk about eschatological issues in end times, pre-wrath, post-wrath, rapture, amillennial, you know, yada, yada, yada. That's great. But I often find that these end up dividing rather than uniting. You know, is the earth flat? Is it round? Yawn. You know, does it really matter in the big scheme of things? Because it's going to be burned up, is what it says in 1 Peter, right? The elements will be turned and the new age will begin with a new heaven and a new earth. So God's going to trash it anyway, flat or round. And it's like, we have to have some common sense here. And certainly in those pseudepigraphal books and the Apocrypha itself, there's a lot of nonsense in there. I have the Book of Jasher here, the Book of Jubilees. And when I'm reading Jasher, it's almost like a little bit of a fairy tale. Like it's filling in the gaps I wanted to read in the Old Testament, how Abraham knew Nimrod and Abraham visited Nimrod. I'm like, this just sounds like somebody just wrote a story, you know, to make people feel better. I'm not trying to, you know, sacralize these texts, but we have, like you said, have to be very careful. Now, of course, the Book of Jude does reference Enoch, where it talks about the Christ returning. There is a mention that I think it's 2 Peter or 1 Peter is also inferred. So the Book of Enoch has some merit, but of course there's the second and third Book of Enoch, and those differ greatly from the first part of it. And some people even contend that the second half of the first Book of Enoch was also altered. So, you know, the connection is the obvious sons of God, Genesis 6, the Nephilim, are they coming back, etc., which is great to have a discussion about. But again, are you believing on the Lord Jesus? Have you repented? That's the main message of the gospel.
Amen. So you've released your book, Lionheart, Unleash the Warrior Within. What is one takeaway that you'd like to leave with our viewers, our listeners right now?
I would cultivate a daily relationship with the Word of God firstly, and that is reading simply one chapter. And this sounds like rudimentary, and it is. However, you wouldn't believe how many people just skip that. If I go for long periods without reading the word, I can feel my spirit almost weakening. I can feel the, because it's daily bread and it's spiritual bread, and we're spiritual beings firstly before we are physical. And so cultivating that relationship with the Lord in the time of peace, so that when that time of testing comes and that still small voice speaks to you, you can recognize that voice because you've had fellowship with him in the times of daily devotional. And so cultivating a time of fellowship with the Lord is number one, and his word.
Amen. What is the best way for people to get a hold of you for more information and also get your book, Lionheart?
Yeah, so my main hub is carljosephministries.com, Carl with a C. On there, you'll find videos, podcasts, numerous articles, and that's pretty much it. The book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all major booksellers. So if you just go there, type in Lionheart, you're there. And I'm excited what the Lord is doing. Excited what the Lord's doing through your ministry, brother.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Carl, for being my special guest on Adventures in the Spirit.
Thank you so much for listening to Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky, a podcast that activates you to live the supernatural life. Subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and share it with your friends. Leave a 5-star rate and review, which helps us reach more people with the love and power of the Holy Spirit, and partner with us at firebornministries.com. And may you live your best spirit-empowered life and have your own adventures in the Holy Spirit.